Hey Ram, I just started the recording for the architecture working group. I stopped the quilt one and started the one for architecture.
I guess that's the new complexity you have to manage the recording, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, imagine we'll have a pretty light turnout today. It's consensus week, right?
Consensus week is next week.
Sorry, never mind then.
It still looks like we have a pretty light turnout anyway.
Is Rocket Chat down?
It's slow, I think, this morning.
Okay, it's just not loading for me.
Yeah, my when I go into like I'm just going into the architecture working group and it's still loading. Yeah, so it's really slow for some reason. It just loaded, so.
I guess mine is just so slow, it's timing out. So, who is hosting that?
The Linux Foundation is, so maybe I'll send a message to the help desk at hyperledger.org. I thought it was just me, so, but if it's not, then
No.
I'll. Okay, let me send a message to them and see if they can see what's going on.
It's slow on my home computer and my VPN, so it's not doing great.
All right, who else is on? Maybe we should get started.
Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Going great. So just, is
Hi,
Zoom
this
having problems or?
is Mohammed as well.
I'm not having problems with Zoom, but Rocket Chat is just totally bricked.
I see. Laptop just ran out of juice. I guess we'll start with our boilerplate notice about the antitrust policy. So I'm sure all of you are familiar with it. It's on top of our meeting notes doc. Let me see who's. On. Sorry for the slow start here. All right. So just a brief reminder again about the antitrust notice for those who joined. So the main thing I wanted to kind of touch on was on the agenda was our identity section. Do we have Ben on the call? I don't see Ben yet. But we can take a look at that and see where we are. Rocket Chat is still hanging, but let me post it in the Zoom chat. Okay, so this is the link to stock. Does anybody have the link handy to the identity paper?
I added it, Mom.
Okay.
Let me make sure I got the right one. Yep.
Thanks, Jesse. So where we were, I think we finished the discussion up to revocation and change management. The remaining sections that we had were around preserving diffuse trust, interoperable identifiers, exposing identity to external systems, consuming identity from external systems, and then summary. I don't see either Nate or Ben on the call. Har, do you have any kind of input on these sections? Stan? Ah, I see Todd is on the line as well.
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry, Ram, you were asking about the last three sections?
That's right.
Yeah, this is more of like an indie thing, right?
That's right. So I had kind of a question out to Nate, but he hasn't quite responded yet. The way I was thinking of preserving diffuse trust is that in this section, my thoughts were that, you know, because we are doing it, so we already have in the authentication and authorization section and some of the introductory sections, the notion that the preferred approach is to kind of post all the identity-related transactions on the ledger itself. And the ledger is the system of record for identities. And that itself, I was kind of thinking, was a way of distributing trust or diffusing trust among the participants. I'm not sure whether we need to kind of cover that again here or whether Nate had something else in mind at that, for this section.
So, I mean, I don't think we want to get too into this, right? I mean, if we're talking about in this document, right, we want to focus on identity within a ledger, not as an application, right?
That's correct.
So some of this stuff is like maybe a bit too indie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe we just, if there's nothing, I'm trying to see. If we are focusing on system identities, and we've already covered the notion that even for system identities, it's distributed in the ledger, right? Do we need to kind of cover it again?
The diffuse trust thing is probably good to mention, right? But this should be focused on like on kind of correlation stuff, right? Because we don't really mention like anonymity or traffic analysis anywhere right now, right?
That's correct. I think my preference is to focus on the functional aspects. Is there any functional description here for preserving diffuse trust that we need to kind of talk about?
What do you mean by a functional description in this case?
Well, so like all the other sections, we've talked about what is, you know, what is the revocation change management function, or what is authentication and authorization?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think we want to get into the techniques, but we want to explain that, you know, if you just naively do things, then, you know, it's possible for third parties to infer facts based on correlations or transaction patterns, right?
Now, we're still talking about the preserving diffuse trust section?
Yeah. That's correct.
So that, see what you just said about avoiding correlation, it's not immediately clear from the name diffuse trust that you're trying to avoid correlation. So yeah. I agree. A definition of what we mean by that section would be great.
I don't know if we want to keep that title, but it seems like that's what that paragraph discusses. Who's ever typing, would you mind muting yourself?
Sorry, Hart, I think that's me.
Oh, no worries.
Let me find the mute button.
So Ram, what did you mean by diffuse trust? Ram? Did I get disconnected here?
Possibly.
You're still here, Hart. I think Ram got disconnected. I don't see his phone number here anymore.
Oh, okay. So I don't know exactly what is meant by...
Hey, sorry, folks. My audio dropped.
No worries. Ram, are you sure that... I was just asking, are you sure preserving diffuse trust is the right title here?
I didn't put it in there. Nate did, but that was what was proposed.
Okay. So we do want to write something about correlation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's the exact title we want to write.
Okay. Even when I was thinking of preserving diffuse trust, I was thinking of the fact that, there's not a single trusted node or point where that we rely on that, the trust is actually distributed among the participants in the chain itself. But I guess the little teaser sentence there is talking more about correlation and privacy rather than diffuse trust, in my opinion. So you're probably right.
Yeah. I mean, at least that paragraph should be titled like, privacy constraints or something like that.
Zooming back out, I guess the question is there, when we talk about let's going back to the crawl before we walk before we run kind of approach that we've been taking, for system identities, is there still an issue around privacy and correlation and so forth?
System identities meaning what? Identities of the nodes?
Identity of the nodes participating entities, not the transactors.
Well, there could be, right? I mean, I don't know of any application off the top of my head, right? But maybe you want, you could probably come up with an application where you want the nodes to to have blinded voting on transactions, right?
Okay, because so far we've assumed that, the system entities are known to everybody.
They are, but they don't have to be necessarily, right? Obviously the bigger point for most applications is the transactors, right?
Correct.
But maybe, I'm sure.
I guess the question is that if we want to preserve transactor confidentiality and there are side channel attacks about who they're connecting to and so forth, is that something that needs to come in here in terms of a functional requirement for identity?
I don't know that we want to get too deep into this in terms of functional requirements, because different chains are going to have different requirements. I think we should just give an example and say that privacy is hard. If you want to achieve privacy properties, you have to do a very good job of modeling, and you have to think a lot about the problem, basically. I don't think we're going to have I mean, how do you list a functional requirement will depend on the blockchain. The techniques are going to be complicated. So, I mean, I think we just want to convince people that privacy is hard. And if you want to guarantee it, you need to think long and hard and come up with smart proofs.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to see whether that translates into any functional requirements from identity services point of view.
Sure it does, right? I mean, if you want... If you need to make sure that a transactor has permission to do something on the blockchain to make some transaction, but you also want to keep their identity hidden, right?
Okay.
No, Stan, you are like exceptionally faint.
Oh, Stan trying to say something?
I think so.
Hello.
Hey,
can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's much better.
All right. Yeah, I was just going to say kind of second Ram's earlier point that how relevant is this to the system identities? Because we're for this particular document, we're focusing on the system identities where privacy is not quite as important and sometimes unachievable versus the transactor identities. It almost feels like it doesn't fit into this particular context.
All right. So my would be in the first pass, we just say, you know, if there's a functional requirement around how we handle system identities that impacts transactor thing, maybe then we kind of put in something here. But if not, my preference would be to say, hey, you know, maybe we punt this till we deal with transactor identities.
Well, I mean, we still might have to have restrictions on transactor identities, right? If we have a totally permissioned blockchain, right, then those are still going to have to be verified, right? And we still certainly want privacy guarantees on that. And I don't think we want to spend a ton of time talking about privacy, but we just want to allude to it and illustrate the difficulty of the problem.
It's Emmanuel from Oracle. Sorry, I joined a little bit late. Can somebody help me understand the aim of this paper? What are we trying to address?
Sorry, what was your name again? Sorry, I didn't
catch. Emmanuel.
Oh, nice to meet you. Thank you. Thank you for joining. So give a brief overview. We've been looking at the overall high-level functional modules, if you will, for a generic permission blockchain. And we've been tackling different aspects of, layers, if you will. We finished consensus and smart contracts. And this section is talking about the services associated with identity, starting from establishing a root of trust, enrollment and registration, authentication, authorization, revocation, and so forth. We're just trying to go through the rest of the potential functions that we want to kind of call out and describe.
Understood. So it's not tied to any particular implementation on Hyperledger, correct? It's meant to be.
That is correct. So this is targeted at more of laying out the high level architecture, and we kind of work, we have representation hopefully from the different projects, and we kind of hope that we will be evolving to a modular kind of architecture with common components. So that's the end goal, if you will.
Thank you.
It's not tied to any particular Ledger implementation.
Great, thanks.
Well, I'm just curious, why wouldn't we try to preserve the privacy of system actors or system identities?
Because it's extremely expensive computationally to do so.
No, I understand that. Yeah, at the moment, right?
I mean, this has been, so Todd, are you familiar with Tor?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I mean, these guys have been working on this problem for, you know, probably 15, 20 years at this point. Kind of having privacy properties in sort of a live, like non-delayed setting is really, really tough. And if you want to kind of get optimal privacy properties, you have to resort to these protocols where like everybody always sends, you know, regardless of whether they're issuing a transaction or not. And this can be really, really expensive.
Right. No, I understand for traffic analysis and the rest of that kind of stuff, but why make the assumption that we shouldn't address that just because it's difficult?
We totally should. But we should take the approach that, you know, some blockchains might not want it, right? They might not want to pay the price. And it's like everything we're doing here, right? Ideally, we want to make something that's completely configurable, right? So you can say either I need this security or I don't, or, you know, I want this or I don't. So we definitely should allude to it. But, you know, we don't have a really good solution for this right now, and I don't think anyone does.
And maybe it's worth...
And also, in the enterprise permission world, we haven't seen a hard requirement for kind of the nodes to be private. We've seen lots of requirements come about for privacy of the participants.
Right. No, I understand that. I get that completely. All I'm saying is that I don't think we should exclude that. I think we should at least, you know, we can point out that it's computationally difficult. Uh-huh. But I think it would be remiss to say we shouldn't at least address it in the paper.
I'm totally on the same page as you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, Todd, to be honest, you know, we want to lay out the basic functionality first, and you know, in the first iteration, we said let's make the simplifying assumption that we are not trying to do privacy. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we can come back and figure out what it would take to add privacy for the system entities as well. But, you know, we kind of punted that for perhaps a second iteration.
Okay, we should be explicit about that, though, that we're doing that.
Sure, absolutely. Let's see. Did we call that out somewhere in the paper?
No, I mean, I don't think we have any references to privacy almost at all in this paper.
Okay, so maybe let's instead of calling in privacy preserving diffuse trust, let's make this about let me just leave that here, see if Nate has something specific to add. I'll add a section around
well, we need to address privacy, right?
Privacy,
I mean, that's
right.
Got to be in here.
Yep. So what should we say? While it would be desirable to protect the privacy of system entities, we make this simplifying assumption that the system identities and public keys are public in this iteration of the architecture. The system should be capable of providing privacy to transactors and other non-system entities. Means of achieving that version of the paper.
Hi, Lash, this is just Leonard. Just a quick question here. Should that apply to both permissioned and non-permissioned networks? Because say a node is part of a network which is permissioned, would privacy be a consideration here in that if it's permitted, if that node is permitted on the network, then whether it's peer-to-peer or otherwise, you should be able to have public consent and understand what that node is and its purpose on the network as opposed to if it was unpermissioned. Just a thought.
Agree. I think, for most permission networks, I've not seen this come up as a requirement so far.
Specifically for system entities, I mean, it's a very interesting problem because it's kind of like trying to hide the identity of the other endpoint on a TCP connection, right? So you're going to know who that is.
Right.
Well, not necessarily, right?
For IP packet to be delivered, you have to know where to send it.
Yeah. I mean, ostensibly,
but you can do something like Tor, though,
right?
Right. I have an anonymizing layer that hides that
tries to hide it.
but in the end,
good point.
In the end, you have to receive it.
Yeah.
Sure, but suppose, Stan, we have some like massive blockchain clearinghouse, right? And it's like this. You can imagine like a Tor for many blockchains, right? Where you send in your packet and it's going to one of the blockchains, but no one can tell which one, right? Something silly like that. I admit this is not necessarily the most pressing thing today, but it's possible. I mean, I think the more practical idea is the system identities are public, but you want them to be able to mask or hide their votes on transactions, basically.
Absolutely, right. But that goes to transactor privacy.
No, that it goes to system identity. It goes to to verifier privacy, right? You know who I am, but I don't want you to know how I voted.
Well, this is also. Almost going to our distinction between the privacy and confidentiality, right? So we want to hide the contents.
Yes, but it's the contents of, it's a kind of gray area, right? It's the contents of a ledger action, not a transaction.
Yeah.
I mean, these things bleed together, right? So.
For system entities, yeah. They do, but it just again feels, as Leonard pointed out, in permission network, it's a very unexpected requirement.
Well, wait, just because I have permission to do something doesn't mean I have to expose who I am that's doing it.
Agreed. I mean, you can have like group memberships and stuff, group proofs.
But the reason I'm thinking about it is things like around governance and stuff like that. And so there, you know, I want to have permission to have a vote on maybe adding a new member or something like that. But why do I have to disclose that I'm the one that made that vote?
Yeah, I think that goes back to the point Hart was making earlier, right? So the fact that you are who you are and you're doing an action may be public, but what that action is, you might want to protect. But I guess we're talking about if you're a system entity, everybody knows who you are.
Right.
Well, but I mean, here's an application. Suppose we have like some kind of system where there are a bunch of players, but we want to hide who the verifiers are, right? And the verifiers like have to make lots of controversial decisions. So, they want to preserve that, you know, they want to hide who they are so that, you know, lots of the other people don't complain to them or whatever, right?
But they're not hiding who they are. They're hiding their role.
Yes.
Yes, I agree with that. And also there's a trust element too, because you need to know the party you're dealing with and whether you accept their vote or the decisions they make too. So it depends on the scenario and how it's going to be applied. But I do like that overall paragraph you put in there, Ram. Maybe we should just look to see if it captures all the salient points in terms of it's a great area, as I think we all agree. And certainly a lot more work needs to be done there.
Look, I mean,
privacy, confidentiality, all these things we need to consider.
I mean, look, I think we should just leave this fairly open and say, like, you know, these are potentially problems, but we're not going to talk about them because most of the applications that we're working on don't involve them today.
Sounds good. Anybody have any proposed things, text for this privacy section, or should we call it done? Going once, twice,
thrice.
All right.
Actually, I have some concern, means in related to privacy. Means in a privacy, we used most of the time zero knowledge proof for this Hyperledger project. Okay, for India, or for Sawtooth, or in our fabric also, most of the time. But the thing is that some privacy issue is still going on. So, for example, for medical sector, if some patient they would like to hide their their disease information to others, for doctor that will be open, but for others, if they able to use their information in a wrong manner, so their privacy will be destroyed. Means, for example, someone have a AIDS, so they do not want to disclose to any another person because he feels some shy, or he feels some in front of other people, they are not feeling secure. So such type of information, how we will if we go through this decentralized algorithm, so how it will be protected? So such type of information in this peer-to-peer communication. So such type of issue I'm facing to relate to my project. So is it possible for you to give me a direction for writing this paper? Which suitable thing we have to propose so that we can minimize this risk for whatever we are creating related to this hypothesis? Thanks.
Thanks, Amit. I guess here in this document, so the main focus over here is on system identities. And what you are talking about, patient health information, is more about the actual transactional data and how we do privacy for that. And I think we have a whole different track to talk about that. So we made the decision here to focus on system identities first, and then make it a stretch goal to see whether the same functions can be extended for transactor identities and so forth.
Like,
so
this is neat. This is Nate DeNiro from UBase. I can give you a little bit different tack on that healthcare use case. I mean, there's a company that actually started called CareSet, and they started because they got an open data set from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid of all the transactions between between all the doctors in the United States for 2 years. And they were able to actually create a social graph of all those transactions, even though they didn't have the transaction details. And then hospitals and other insurance companies and things take that data along with other data and then are essentially able to effectively re-identify patients and have insight into steering their care and also leakage from their hospitals. So that's an example of entity relationships revealing data about individuals or becoming part of a larger data set about individuals that then allow them to be re-identified. And it's what I'm getting from this diffuse trust sort of thing that you guys are addressing, or this question, is that you want to maintain a decentralized trust posture, but not do so in a way that it reveals the players necessarily, depending upon the situation. You want to, I mean, is that, that's the core of the problem, right?
Correct.
So, yeah, being able to safeguard against stuff like that would be amazing in terms of flipping the dynamic around in healthcare, anyways. You know, I know there's other industries like that that have that same context.
In the insurance sector, we also apply this privacy thing and related to claim during claim. Means for particular things, they have some confidentiality. Means I'm purchasing something, I'm purchasing some books or something, then it will be okay. This information will be propagated to another person. And for online shopping, for example, I'm purchasing some from a major pharma, some condom. So the excess time of things, people are not looking to propagate to any another person. They track their things, what they are looking for. Means, for example, I'm looking some movies. Some people are looking at comedy movie, some romantic one. Some people are looking at some adult movie. So such type of information about privacy is nowadays, for example, in a big data or recommended system, many things people are making. But those privacy will be totally compromised.
I think it's worth reminding that the scope, we're only talking about system entities right now, right? So we're talking about ledger nodes, not individual people or actors or anything like that.
Yeah, I propose that we kind of come back to the agenda at hand, and maybe you can propose those other use cases as examples, I'm sure in the privacy and confidentiality track, we'll address how we keep some of the transaction details private. Thanks, Todd. Todd, you were thinking of adding some text around transactor confidentiality here. Was that where you were going?
I'm just trying to figure out what the right wording might be. But I'm also not a Google Docs aficionado, if you will. you just edit it here and it just shows up, or does it have to be the change approved? Sorry if I'm not that familiar.
If you click on the pencil on the right corner, you can choose editing or suggesting. So you can just go to suggesting mode.
Okay.
And then add the text, and then we can look at it. Yep. And...
Okay. Cool. Yeah, thanks.
Google Docs isn't very resilient, though. If you get like suggestions on suggestions on suggestions, it kind of gets unpredictable how it will act.
So, are people okay with the text that is in there? Shall I just accept that?
Ram, this is Vijay. Can I ask you one question, please?
Sure.
I'm new to these concepts, but you mentioned here public keys are public in this iteration. So does that mean that going forward public keys will not be public?
Sorry, no. What I meant is that we are not trying to protect the privacy of the system entities in this iteration of the solution, as Hart put in the next document. There is research work going on in other parts of the community where there are techniques to protect the identities even of participating nodes. We are saying we are not going to talk about that in this version of the paper.
Got you. Yeah, thanks. No more questions from mine. That's all. Thanks.
All right, thanks. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and accept the text in this section. Sorry, Todd, I lost your comment there, but I think you're thinking of adding something.
I'll add that. Okay. I don't need to do it right in the call here, but I'll add some stuff as a suggestion. You guys can decide whether you want it or not.
Sounds good. The section on interoperable identifiers. Identifiers for ledgers can come from multiple sources. Enumerate how identifiers can come from systems like LDAP and directory services, other ledgers, or other external system databases, and how they're related to the trust topic outlined here elsewhere, X509 certificates. Again, is this something that we need to address for system entities? I think so far we have mentioned in the previous sections that, you know, for instance, Bootstrap, you know, one way to do that would be the root of trust is an external CA. I think that we covered there. Any thoughts?
I think it specifically for the system identities, this kind of makes sense that these identifiers are resolvable to like a network addressable identifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So like a, this is not a pure identity that we're talking about here. There's also the communication component to it, which was the source of my concern with the privacy. But the this section, do we want to talk about it? Because interoperable identifiers make sense when we're talking about, as I guess the next subsection is talking about, how you deal with external systems. There's really, when we're, if we're talking about the system entities again, there's, I'm not sure how much of a concern this is.
Got it. Maybe I'll put in a comment.
This is another topic that's kind of going to the transactor entities.
Mm-hmm.
So just yet another reference to the potential extension for this paper.
All right. So maybe another question for Nate, whether this is relevant for
The only thing I'd say to that is that every use case may present us with somewhat different requirements, huh? And there are use cases where you need to provide, you might say, identification to external actors if there is a need to collaborate. So interoperability, for example, and all these other areas I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's a hard one here. Should we remove it? Should we leave it in? But who's going to contribute to that section? You're thinking of removing it completely now? So we aren't going to expand it further?
Yeah, I'm just going to put in a comment there and see. I think Nate had proposed this section. Go back to see whether that's still relevant. Do we need this for system identities?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Let's have Nate respond first. Thanks.
Okay, consuming identities from external systems. So that could be, I guess the question is exposing identities to external systems. I'm just thinking ahead, we have this work item around interoperability. Do we need to think about exposing identities of system nodes to other blockchain instances? And does that impose any functional requirements? And I guess then interoperability of identifiers, even for system identities, becomes an issue if you're going, right? So let's say you have two two blockchain networks, each with its own set of system entities. When we need to interoperate between them, how do we, so that you know, so I guess that could be addressed in this section, right? We probably need to think through the requirements there, right? So
isn't that also part of diffuse trust too? I mean, isn't that what he's talking about or referring to? Partially.
Yeah, there. I think the perhaps networks. You know, the text there, I think we covered by addressing the privacy section on top, but maybe there's an angle of diffuse trust there too. If you're talking about interoperability between different blockchain network instances.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we need clarity on all these sections so we can understand what they really refer to or mean before we can actually complete this. So for diffuse trust, who's going to provide the initial input to that, Ram?
I guess we are looking for volunteers. but in the absence of that, we can just, use the sessions or have a working session.
Who proposed it initially?
It was Nate again.
Okay, we need to understand from him what he meant by that because we need clarity before we can even address it.
Right. We can certainly do that. But I guess do we want to take a stab? I mean, at least I see a requirement if we are talking about interoperability between networks. Of how we deal with, let's say, nodes and identity of nodes between them, right? So there's a whole big topic to be explored in interworking.
Yes, it's a big topic because we can look at it from different perspectives. Yeah, so interoperability quite a lot, but okay, so. Sorry, I'm having connections there. Carry on, Ram. Sorry.
No worries. Thoughts? Anybody else? Todd, Stan, Art?
Yeah, I think interoperability feels like a topic we should cover. Again, it feels like we need Nate's feedback. Sounds like the DID and DDO kind of a construct type can help. With interoperability, mm-hmm. It would be great to have feedback from someone from Indy.
Okay, so I guess my main action item for before our next one is to reach out to Nate to see, what the thinking was on the last two items we have left, and then let's see whether we kind of at least put in some placeholder for the interoperable identifier section till we tackle the interoperability topic. That we have about 2 minutes left. Should we kind of kickstart some the work item on interoperability? Who's interested in kind of maybe volunteering to put together at least a framework that'll start us on that discussion in the next meeting? Crickets.
Well, if that's the case, no contributions now. Okay, that's good. I was saying we all read up on interoperability based on our own experiences and use cases and come prepared for our next meeting. Thank you, Ram. Great job. Thanks.
Thanks. Sorry, did I hear some volunteers?
I will summarize as a volunteer.
Great, thanks. All right, so Let's we can talk offline. If RocketJack comes back, we can, or send an email out to the mailing list. Let's get the interoperability, perhaps at least framework. Think about that and send out your thoughts on what that framework should look like on the email list or on RocketChat. Then we can go from there in the next meeting. I'll take the action item to reach out to Nate to see whether he can provide some text and details, or at least propose stuff for the remaining sections, and we will follow up from there. Thanks, everyone. Let's kind of close out this identity section, and then we can start handing it off to Greg and team to see whether they want to. The other thing we need to do is solicit input from the different projects. But you know, once we start putting together the article paper, then we can start on that thread for the system identities. All right. Any other thoughts, questions before we wrap up?
Nope.
All right. Thanks everyone.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Ram and team. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.